New year, new you. That's what they say. But we're not quite ready to put away Christmas, are we? There's still a few more days until Twelfth Night. We know this as Epiphany. So today, the meaning of Epiphany. Our scripture comes from Matthew, who's the only one who told the story of the three wise men. So chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, verse 11. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Epiphany arrives as the 12 days of Christmas are coming to an end. Now, Epiphany is described first as a sudden and startling revelation. Epiphany can also mean an illuminating discovery that we didn't expect based on the past. And a third meaning of Epiphany is a manifestation of God in a form that's tangible to the human senses. I love that one. So today, as we study the story of the Magi, we can see how each of these Epiphany descriptions unfold. First, a sudden and startling revelation. That came in the prophetic arrival of a Messiah after a long period of darkness and silence from the heavens. And second, an unexpected illuminating discovery based on the past? Well, that came in the form of the Star of Bethlehem. And they say the tradition was when you saw a new star, there would be a new king. So third, the Epiphany that's the divine manifestation of God in the human form of Jesus, as was predicted in some of the earliest pages of the Torah. Now, considering that the things that the book of Matthew suggests and what other historic references relate, it's kind of up to us to make some educated guesses that will fill in some of the meaning and meanings of Epiphany for the three wise men. So, first of all, they were seekers. Now, it must have been something extremely significant that they were searching for that prompted them to begin a journey of hundreds, maybe thousands of miles. Matthew says they came from the east. What that likely means is Persia, which is modern-day Iran. Could have been Iraq or Yemen, even some parts of Egypt. And they started out equipped with, scrolls, diagrams, constellation charts, weather maps, navigational GPS. No, they had a star. Well, what we know is these were wealthy, highly educated men of noble birth. The Magi of the time were the priests and philosophers who counseled and influenced the rulers. They're pretty high up there. Educated because they studied the prophecies, the origins of myth and religious phenomena. They happened to know that that was an unusual star that appeared in the east. And they were also experts in mathematics and history and science. In fact, they were so wise because in the east you could not become a king without first having mastered all the knowledge of the Magi. Then you were chosen and crowned from among the Magi. So you were crowned by your peer Magi's. That means the three wise men were the kingmakers of their day. Now that explains the significant something that drew them for hundreds and thousands of miles searching for the King of the Jews. So from studying Hebrew scriptures, they knew that his birth would occur in Bethlehem. They also knew that there was an earlier prophecy given by Balaam that was recorded in Numbers 24:17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter, a king, shall rise out of Israel. As Matthew writes, the Magi refer to the star of Bethlehem as being his star. It was a sign to them that a king was born. And following the route of that star as it tracked across the sky, they were led to the capital city of Jerusalem, and then on to the little town of Bethlehem, where they hoped to find a newborn king, just as the prophet Micah had written. The light of heaven led to an epiphany for the three kings, and the king that they found, the light of the world, leads all seekers to an epiphany of illumination today. The Magi came looking to satisfy an urgent question in their heart and mind. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When the illuminating light that they had been following for so long finally came to a standstill, the wise men came near to their epiphany. Scripture says, they entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary. That's when they knew, without question, that this was the divine manifestation, the incarnation of God in human form. Jesus was an ordinary child in an ordinary dwelling in an ordinary town. Yet when the Magi saw the child, they recognized the Messiah. They recognized his greatness. And these men, who themselves were typically deferred to by kings, bowed down before him. Now, some translations say they fell down before him. They threw themselves down. They fell to their knees. They knelt down or prostrated themselves. But each and every translation says that they worshiped him, adored him, and paid homage to him. And that's what wise men do when they experience the epiphany of manifestation. Now remember, these were not people of Jewish faith. These were likely men of pagan religion, if they believed in any God at all. And yet here they were, seeking the one true God. These were scientists and scholars seeking proofs on the one hand and prophecies on the other. Yet they bowed down and paid homage to a tiny child because proofs and prophecies had led them to this place, to this person, at this time. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Sometimes when we think of gifts for a royal baby, our thoughts might lean toward gold rattles or silver cups or a cashmere blanket. But in this case, the gifts were even more unique. they were meant to reveal yet another epiphany, the epiphany of Revelation. Each of the treasures was symbolic in a personally meaningful way for the birth, life, and death of the Christ child. Gold, that was a valuable gift for a royal ruler. It was a tribute and a symbol of divinity and kingship. It announced Jesus' true identity and his mission, and it acknowledged him as the King of Kings and emphasized the divine authority, and it also signified the treasures of heaven, which underscored his eternal reign. Frankincense, now that is a white resin that's highly fragrant when burned. It's used for thousands of years in worship and religious ceremonies. Frankincense was given because that's what a high priest used when he went into the temple to represent the people before God. So that further reinforced the role Jesus would assume as our high priest. And it was also symbolic of his willingness to become a sacrifice himself, wholly giving himself up, analogous to a burnt offering, like frankincense, to become the mediator between God and humanity. Frankincense was used in anointing and in embalming, as was myrrh. Now, myrrh is a fragrant gum resin from Arabia. It's used in perfume and incense. And it was also sometimes mingled with wine to form a medicated drink. If you remember, it was gall that was offered to our Savior when he was about to be crucified. Myrrh symbolizes bitterness, suffering, anguish, and affliction. Myrrh is a gift that foreshadowed Jesus' passion and sacrificial death on the cross. Three gifts, each with significant spiritual meaning. Do you think there's any reflection on the Trinity when we consider that there were three wise men bringing three gifts, men from different cultures and continents with distinct identities, three separate sacred gifts that could be seen as representing the three aspects of Jesus himself, his kingship, his divinity, and his sacrificial role. In ancient times, any one of these three gifts would have been worth a small fortune because they were extremely rare. And then think about the expense to bring it such a distance. A small chest of gold at that time would have been an appropriate gift for a king, and its value would have been about $500,000. Now, frankincense and myrrh at that time were very dear. They were even more valuable than gold. So combined, the treasure, the offering, would have been worth well over $1,000,000. But do you know what's even more valuable? What Jesus gave us through his birth, his death, and his resurrection. The things he gave us, new life, new hope, and new status as children of the eternal God, and freedom from the penalty of death for our sin. That's priceless. And what he wants from us is to love others, show mercy, and serve him with gladness. It may come as a startling epiphany of revelation to you, but the greatest gift you can give God is yourself. Proverbs 23:26 says, "My son, Give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. The most meaningful thing you can do is enter into this brand new year of opportunities, and say, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my talents, my abilities. I give you my dreams, my future. I give you my fears and weaknesses. I offer myself to you. Here is my heart. We recognize that the Father offers us love and grace, healing, wisdom, and every aspect of life, without cost, without limit, without end. Now, realizing that, we're called to emulate the posture of the wise men, bringing our best, our most valuable, to the King of Kings, with reverence and awe, falling down, bowing down. We see that the inclusion of the journey of the Magi in the Nativity story underscores the universal nature of Jesus' mission as the Savior for all people, all cultures, all classes, and all who believe. Even though the Magi were Gentiles, they realized that Jesus was their king too. And because of their intense desire to find him, to know him, a star appeared in the heavens to illuminate their way to him. They went out of their way to seek him, to find him, to yield to him, bow to him, protect him from Herod, and to bring him the praise that he deserved. That same recognition of Jesus as King and our need for him as Savior and Lord is the ultimate realization that we can experience. It's for us a life-changing epiphany. And when we come with open hearts and expectant outlooks, we can experience the manifestation of God's presence and mercy every day. We can have epiphany if we look through the eyes of one seeking something very small, new, and precious. In Jeremiah 29:13, God said, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." He promises that when we seek him, we shall find him. So think about times when you may have experienced some sort of epiphany, some sudden and startling revelation, an illuminating realization that you didn't expect, or the greatest epiphany, manifestation of God. When you look at something that you've known about for a long time and suddenly you realize it has a very special meaning that you never before acknowledged, then at that moment, you've had an epiphany. When you uncover something that was there all along, but was kind of hiding, in a sense, just below the surface, not obvious, and you take a second look, a deeper look, and have an awakening, that's an epiphany. Many people come to Christ as the result of an epiphany, such as a traumatic event, an accident, or a serious illness that causes them to look at the tenuousness of life and the reality of eternity. Others have a quiet epiphany in which the Spirit speaks in a still, small voice, urging them, wooing them to the Savior. No matter how it happens, all Christians come to an epiphany about the reality of God, sin, heaven, hell, eternity, and the work of Christ on the cross on our behalf. When we accept him as Savior, when we repent of our sins and make a place for him in our hearts, when we nurture the revelation of God in our lives, reflecting and sharing his love to the world, then we are allowing Christ's epiphany to be our life-changing epiphany. when you follow heaven's light, it will guide you to the same place that it led the Magi, to the feet of Jesus. It will lead you to the foot of the cross because Jesus is our pathway to God. There's still a star in the sky. There's still a song in the air. And Jesus Christ is still born in hearts today. He is still Emmanuel, God with us, a living presence able to conquer despair, to impart hope, to forgive sins, and to reconcile us with God. If we are seekers, as the three wise men were, and we look for the true God, as they did, and humble ourselves to worship Jesus as they did, then we too are awakening to wisdom that leads us to the eternal King, the King of Kings. We are coming to the meaning of Epiphany. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, just as the wise men continued without fail to search for the blessed King, may we feel the urgency to share the Savior's love and forgiveness with those who are searching for light in a dark world. Just as the wise men bowed to worship the King of Kings, may we uplift your sovereign glory in all that we do. Just as the wise men gave gifts in recognition of your royalty, may we offer ourselves and our service in support of the sacred kingdom. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Yeah.